Okay, good morning, everyone. I think Robinson Feldman has some more source sheets for anyone who needs. If you need a source sheet, maybe just raise your hand. Well, okay, good morning, everyone. Thank Robert Friedman, as always, for his very kind introductions. The reason I always teach, come here in January, is because that usually the beginning of January is when I have a little time off from YU, when the boys are either in finals or now finishing up, and they have a little time between semesters, so that's why I always end up here in the winter. It's always a big, a big pleasure and honor for me to come teach to this group. It's always such as we always get to have such thoughtful conversations. I really, really enjoy it. So when Robinson Feldman always emails me in the summer to choose a couple of slots, so it's always really exciting for me. So thank you for being here this morning. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a couple of stories that happened to me, at least one, and a few shilas that I often get, and why I'm talking about this. And you'll see maybe a little bit why I'm talking about this topic. Maybe it's obvious to you, but it comes up so often. I get this question all the time. So when I was my first job as a rabbi, I was the assistant rabbi in Bris Shalom Beth Israel Synagogue in Charleston, South Carolina. And the other thing that I did, I worked on college campuses in the College of Charleston and the Citadel Military College in Charleston. So I had a student from the Citadel whose name was Abe. Abe was not a particularly, didn't grow up in an observant family, but I become interested in Yiddishkeit, started putting on tefillin, and Abe was preparing for a profession in, preparing to go to the Air Force. And Abe, I spent a lot of time with Abe, learning and did all kinds of things. He went to Israel on a trip, and it came time for Abe's graduation from the Citadel. And so he asked me, Rabbi Krohn, would you be willing to come to the graduation? So I said, of course I would come. First of all, I thought it was like so cool. I go to like a military graduation. It's very exciting. So he invites me to come. And then about a day or two before, he says to me, Rabbi, I just want to make sure that you're okay with coming. I said, why would I not be okay with coming to a graduation? I have no concerns. He said, well, it's being held in the chapel at the Citadel. So I said, the chapel? The chapel might be like some non-denominational room. I'm not so worried. I said, but, I plan to come. We'll see what happens. So they come, so I drive over to the Citadel. It wasn't very far from my house. And I go in. If you chance to be in Charleston, you'll get a tour of the Citadel. It's very cool. So I drive up and I'm looking for the chapel, and someone says it's right over there. And I look over there and it's this huge church. Huge. And I said, he's right. it was a Shiloh. So I'll tell you afterwards what I did. But that's it, right? That kind of brings out this question of visiting. I get this question all the time. I grew up as a child. There was a shul in Newton, Massachusetts called Shari Tefila, which initially didn't have its own building. And when I was a kid, we davened in a gym. But it was a church gym. It was a gym across from some Episcopalian church that was in Newton. That's where I had youth groups and grew up. We davened. I remember people davening Yom Narayim in this gym in that shul. All the time, I get this question multiple times a year. Someone whose colleague passes away, or a relative of their colleague, and they say, "Can I go to the funeral?" Where's the funeral? The funeral's going to be in a church. So what do you do? And I'm asked almost every single year the question, which is on the top of the page, which is not our only question, but it's the most exciting, maybe more spicy way to give a topic, a title, is the question: Can a Jew go to the Sistine Chapel? I want to go visit. I want to go to Rome. I want to visit. I want to see things. If you still like to go visit Europe. Can I go? Can you go into this? Is that permissible for a person to do such a thing? Okay, so what we're going to do is I know who I am. I know who I'm not. So for most of you, I'm not your rabbi. So I don't pretend to pass on a shaila for anybody. If you have, you should go to your own rav to ask these questions. But for those who are, I am your rabbi then, something else, I guess. But nevertheless, I think it's a really, really interesting and important topic for us all the time and something we should be more educated on. And then we can, you know, obviously find out what to do. Halacha l'maisa, you should ask your posek. Okay, so where does this whole thing come from? What are we talking about? Why should a person not enter a base of a Zara? And this is my opportunity to show that this is indeed a parsha shir. Source number one. I think officially this is a parsha shir, right? So source number one. When I first started giving this shir, I used to always like, does it have to be in the parsha? I said, no, it's okay. So someone said you parsha, someone's not. Today, I guess not. So, but source number one is a pasuk, it's a pasuk in Parshas Va'era. So not this week's parsha, but next week's parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu is in Egypt, and Paro is upset about some of the makos that have come. Vayishlach Paro v'yikol Moshe la'aron v'yomer lehem chatasi apam. He says, fine, I made a mistake. I was wrong. Hashem ha-tzadik v'ani v'ami ha-resheim. I'm wrong. I made a mistake. You guys are right. Let's go. Heitiru Hashem v'rav niyos kolos elokim v'barad v'ashlacha eschem v'lo sosif v'lamod. Get rid of the barad already. Daven to Hashem. Get this barad out of here. And then, we'll make a deal. Vayomer lav Moshe. Moshe responds. Kitsesi esayir, efros eskapaya lashem hakolos yechtalun vabarad lo yeod laman tedaki lashem ha'aretz. He says, no problem. When I leave the city, I'll daven to Hashem and I will get rid of the barad. And the question, of course, is, why does he say, when I leave the city? Don't leave the city. Do it right there. You're so much cooler, right? He davens right in front of, no problem, Paro. He turns to Bo Shalom in front of Paro, davens, boom, barad's over. That'd be a much greater show. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to leave the city? Says Rashi, source number two, could say, "See, yes, ayir minayir, ababaso chayir lo hitpaleo lefisha haisa malea gilulim." He's not going to daven in the city. Why? Because the city was full of avodah zara, so he's not going to do that. He's going to have to leave in order to do so. Why? Because a person shouldn't daven in the base of avodah zara. Okay, fine, but that's just davening in the base of avodah zara. That doesn't tell me that I can't walk in. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu was in Egypt. It's not he didn't go in. Right, he was there. It wasn't like he's not allowed to go. Right, he was allowed to go into Egypt in order to take the Am Yisrael out of Egypt. So this is not this is not a proof. It's not the source of our Isser. But it is, shows already a certain sensitivity that Moshe Rabbeinu had to the concern for Avodah Zarah. Fine. We're going to skip source number three for now. We don't really need it per se. It's just a story about people who were careful to walk away. They wouldn't want to go by a base of Avodah Zarah. But we'll take a look at source number four. Source number four is the Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah, which talks about the question of, let's just read it. Ir sheyesh b'Avodah Zarah chutzala, a city that has active idol worship inside of it, or outside of it, sorry. That has Avodah Zarah inside of it. So chutzala mutar, if you want to be outside that city, that's fine, because the Avodah Zarah is in the city. So the Avodah Zarah is taking place in the city. They're having a Buddhist festival in the city, so you can be outside the city. Okay? Chutzala, tocha mutar. If it's happening on the outskirts of the city, they're having some type of Avodah Zarah festival, etc. So then you can go into the city, because again, that's not where the Avodah Zarah is. But ask the Mishnah, mahu leilich l'sham. But what about to go there in the first place? Right, if I have to be there or whatever, I'm stuck and it turns out it's a festival, what am I going to do? I have a friend of mine who's he works for a certain bank, and he has a team, one of his teams is in where? India. In India. So he has to go like once a year to India to see his team. He said one year he was walking on the street through, I forget which city in India. It wasn't Mumbai, it was a different city. He's walking through the streets to try to get to the Chabad, and there were like these literally like huge like paper mache elephants known as Ganesh. Ganesh is this Avodah Zarah they do in India, and they take the Ganesh big paper mache thing and they parade it through the streets and they bring it to the beach and they put it in the water, and it's like this whole Ganesh, you know, Avodah Zarah fest, basically. It's like the real deal, real Avodah Zarah. So he's like, I didn't know, you know. I came there to do business, but he ends up in this place, and there's this Mamash Avodah Zarah going on. Okay, but can I go? Can I go to such a place? Resource number four. So says the Mishnah, Bizman Shaderech Miuchedes La'osa Makom, Asar. If there's only one direction to go to that place, you can't go. V'mayachol La'alech Ba La'makom Acher, Mutter. But if I can go through that place to some other place, so that's okay. Okay? Another question the Gemara asks. Ir sheyeshba avodazara. There's a city where there's avodazara happening. Vahayu bachanuyos mutaros v'she'ina mutaros. And there's certain stores. Some of the stores are adorned for the purposes of avodazara. Imagine decorations. Imagine a religion where there's decorations getting ready for that holiday, right? You can imagine such a thing, okay? You see it all the time, right? So, right, decorations everywhere celebrating avodazara. Imagine such a thing in your life, okay? And there are stores v'she'ina mutaros. So there are places that have both. Right? So they said if it's a shop that has decorations on it, so then you can't go buy from them. Why not? What's the concern? What? Okay, so maybe one possible concern is that they're going to use that profit for avodah zarah. Right, so there's another discussion in the Rishonim about this conversation. The Gemara talks about doing business in general. The Gemara's and Mishnah and Avodah Zarah doing business with idol worshippers around their holiday, because what's going to happen, just like when we make a deal, what do we say? Baruch Hashem. So when they make a deal, what do they say? Baruch, whatever it is that they bless. Right, so if you do a deal with that person on their yontif, so they're going to be more connected now to the Yitzhak, Lifnei Iver, right? Because non-Jews are also forbidden to worship idols. And it's not just something I can't do. A Ben Noach also can't worship Avodah Zarah. So if I help them, if I give them excitement to do worship Avodah Zarah, so maybe I'm like a Lifnei Iver. I'm like causing them to be involved. Fine. Okay. Good. So what? So look at the Rambam. Rambam in source number 5 gives his explanation of this Mishnah. So our real question is, Mahu Leleich L'Sham, right? Can I go to such a place that has this Avodah Zarah taking place? Okay? So says the Rambam, source number 5, Sheyasena derech lalechas mimena lezula so. I'm going to go from there, right? From this place to somewhere else. Lefi she'ein muter b'shum panim likanes la'ir sheyesh b'Avodah Zarah, because I can't go to a place where they're doing Avodah Zarah. V'koshekin ladurba, certainly I can't live in such a place. V'koshekin l'schorba, certainly I can't do business in such a place. Okay, the Rambam, very strong. Doing business, going and living in such a place where people do Avodah Zarah, that you definitely can't do. Okay? Remember, this is, you know, the times when everyone lived in different places. Jews lived by themselves, other religions lived by themselves, right? It's very, go live by them, right? Live where they are, do where they're doing Avodah Zarah. Absolutely not, says the Rambam. V'chanuyos mutaros, what is he talking about? These shops that were adorned. Ha'chanuyos mikushatot. Be'ezen min shehein min kishut. They would have lights or whatever. Shehein lo kushtu el avodah zarah. They're done for their avodah zarah. Ulefika koma shebehen asur behana. And therefore, everything that they have is forbidden to get benefit from, because the halacha is anything that's used for avodah zarah, not only can you not use, I mean, can't worship avodah zarah, but you also can't even get benefit from such a thing. Right? Just a reminder. Like, I know we're like throwing out the word avodah zarah, right? But avodah zarah in general is one of the big three averos, right? A person, if a person would be, someone would you know, say to you, worship avodah zarah or I'm going to kill you, what's the halacha? Yaharek v'yavor. You have to give up your life. It sounds so bizarre to us because we're not used to it. Avodah zarah seems so foreign. Like, wow, who cares? Who's interested? It's so silly, right? So we don't take it seriously in the same way, but that's exactly what it is, right? That's the severity of the isser. So it's not surprising that we have all these other rules, like an Isser Hana, not allowed to get benefit from things that are used for Avodah Zarah, not allowing people to, you know, we should avoid encouraging others to worship Avodah Zarah. There's a reason why we're so serious about it, because it's one of the big three cardinal sins. Yeah. Good, we're going to get there. Excellent. That's certainly going to be a very, very important question. If we're having this conversation, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, what is Christianity even? We're going to talk about that as we move along.
What do you ask?
What?
Come here. What do you ask? What
did he asked, is Christianity Avodah Zarah? Oh. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly the next question we're going to have to get. Absolutely. Good. We're setting the parameters, and then we will talk specifically about Christianity as we move along. Okay. And then the Rambam says, where it's underlined, Ulefichach. Yesh ladash ko ir mi areha uma hanotritz sheyesh lahem ba bama. Okay, so the Rambam gets right to the point. Any city that belongs to notrit, Christians, sheyesh lahem ba bama, right? They have a bama, means an altar. Ritzoni lomar beit filatam, a place where they daven. Ashehu beis avodah zarah below suffix. The Rambam has already told us. He thinks there's no question it's avodah zarah. Okay. You can't even go to that city on purpose. Certainly to live in such a city. You're going to say, how is that? Look, the whole, what are you talking about going to be? So it says, the Rambam, Aval Hashem masarnu bideyem, achinadur bareyem ba'akrochen. He goes, look, I understand. The Rambam also lived in Galus. We're stuck. Right? We're going to live in places where there are lots of churches and there's lots of Avodah Zarah. It's lots all over the place. What are we going to do? This is what it says about us. What's going to happen? You go into Galus, so you're going to be in a place where the people are serving these things. Vimzehu din ha'ir. Fine, so the bottom line is, you're not supposed to live in such a city, but you don't have a choice, because there's Avodah Zarah, there's Christianity everywhere, and we're in Galus, so we're stuck. Okay. Vimzehu din ha'ir, and says the Rambam, that's the halacha when it comes to the city. Kavachomer ladin beis Avodah Zarah atzmo. This is more important for us. If that's the rule about going to a city where there's Avodah Zarah, where we say, okay, what are we going to do? We're stuck. Right? That we can't really avoid. Right? But to go to their place where they actually worship, shekemat asr lahabit bo. Rambam says it's forbidden to lahabit, to look at it. Forbidden to look at it, he says. V'koshekein l'karei ve'lav, certainly get close to it. V'koshekein l'ikanes ve'lav, and certainly he says to enter such a place. Okay, and the Rambam, by the way, is not talking, the Rambam is very specific. The Rambam already says, he says in Notzrit, right? The Rambam is already telling us, he thinks this is true for Christian, places of Christian worship, right? He believes that already. Fine, so a very, very strong argument for the Rambam, that if this is true about general places, you know, cities, etc., where people worship Avodah Zarah, certainly the houses of worship themselves should be totally, totally off limits. Okay. We're going to see a couple other Rishonim, then we'll see if we can get some, you know, some sources. Because what we don't have so far, the Gemara doesn't give a pasuk to tell us why this is forbidden. What would you say? What would be a reason to say this is Azar? Let's say to go in. Why would it be Azar? Yeah.
Well, I could think also that maybe you'll bend down in front of one of their
symbols. Okay. It's like a Gzera Drabanan, maybe a person. Okay, if you want to, if we're trying to avoid this Isra of worshipping Avodah Zarah, let's assume for a moment, we'll see it, Machlokas, whether we've seen Christianity as Avodah Zarah. So certainly to go to such a place, Chazal could tell you not to go to such a place. Why? It's a Gzera, regular concern, Shema, maybe you might come to get involved in the worship. Okay, it's a possibility.
Also, you might think it's so beautiful, it might entice you.
Good. Okay, excellent. You get pulled in. Take a look at the Ritva actually quotes a number of reasons. The Ritva in source number 6, he says, Perish Rashi, here it's bolded and underlined, Bishum Chashada, the Chashke Lid, the Azul Miflach Lavodazar. Meaning, what is the reason, according to him, they're not supposed to be in such a city and go to such a place, etc.? It's a Marasayan, right? Or Chashad. Marasayan, Chashad led them to Marasayan. Marasayan is that you might do something and people will think that it's okay. Chashad means that people will think that you're doing the wrong thing. And so you're not supposed to go somewhere where it looks like you're doing something that's wrong. Right? You're, as I've heard, you know, some posts say, in halacha, your reputation is not your own. Right? You're not allowed to say, I don't care about my reputation. You have to. Right? Chashad, the halacha of chashad means you're not allowed to do things that make you look suspicious. You have to do things. You have to care. V'yisim nikim me'ashem mi'yisrael. Okay, they're going to think you're going there. Okay. He says, the Hab Gamar Amin and the Chashin and the Chashad, the Gamar says, thing. Fine. Okay. And he says, Vihi, where it's bolded, Vihi Bechlal Avizrai Avodazara Shiharad Vayavor. So Ritva says, I'll give you a different reason. If we're concerned that doing Avodazara itself is Yaharad Vayavor, you're not allowed to, you better be killed than do such a thing. Right? So anything that's connected, Avizrayu, the Avodazara, we have this language in Chazah, Avizrai means things that are related to such an Isser. May also be Harag Vayavar. Wow. It's a very, very strong thing to say. Wow. He says, Ulefizeh, Asr likanes labeis Avodah Zarah b'makom she'ein regilin hagoyim likanesham. A person should not, it's forbidden to go into a base Avodah Zarah in a place where the non-Jews don't typically go. El letzorach Avodah Zarah b'vad. I mean, if they only go for one reason, they go there to worship, you shouldn't go there. Avayim yesh sham chatzer ladun. But if there's some other uses for this space, they use it as a marketplace, they use it, they have judges there, they have other things that they do there, so then, or you use it as a kapendaria, a shortcut, it's a halach, you're not allowed to make a base of class as a kapendaria, you can't make a shul, but a church, we'll see, not going in, but right, to use a church as a church parking lot or something as a shortcut might be permissible. And even if you're going to lose money, Where he's just making a shortcut, it's okay because it's actually a lack of respect to use it as a shortcut. We can talk about whether we think that's a good idea or not. I don't think we need to go out of our way to show disrespect to other religions, right? That's not the goal here. But the point being, to use it as a shortcut may not be, may be permissible. What?
People go in there for other reasons.
Okay, or maybe they go there, by the way, to vote. Or maybe they go there for an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Right? But most AA meetings take place in basements of churches. Right? So you tell a person they can't go to AA because they can't go to a church, and I'm going to the church, I'm going to the basement of the church. Right? So this is an interesting question, right? Used to be voting a lot of places, right, would take place in again, church gyms and things like that. So how do I go in? We're going to talk about it. Right? But you see already an opening in the Ritva here. It says, well, it depends what it's used for. It right, depends what it's used for, right? What?
Blood
donation. Right, you're going to give blood, right? Some of these things might happen in the church. So does that make a difference when that in this conversation? Good, excellent. And then he says, which bolded the last paragraph there, some say, even if no one's going to think anything bad about you, meaning maybe the problem is not that you're going, people will think you're worshiping. Nah, everybody knows you're a firm person. There's no shayla. No one thinks you're going to worship any other religion. But what are you going to see? Some like very exciting pomp and circumstance where they are elevating, right, and giving kavod to this religion. Maybe that, says the Ritva, there are those who explain, that might be the reason why it's usher to go, because we... You can leave everyone, you can leave them alone. You don't have to curse them out, but just leave them. There's no reason to go and give kavod to another religion, to avodah zarah, certainly something that is we're not supposed to do. Rav Shechter has said before, he thinks this is actually the source of the Isser, is al tifnu ela elilim, the Pasuk says. So you're not supposed to turn towards other gods. And he thinks that's actually the source of an Isser, he believes this is deraisa, to enter a church. Even one, he says, that's no longer in use. Rav Shechter feels very strongly about this. Because again, the pasuk is telling me, al-tifnu el-halilim means I'm not supposed to even show interest. Al-tifnu is an interesting language. It means just don't turn towards, don't have any interest in such a thing. Yeah. Yeah, you could argue that it's a reason to avoid, yeah, a cut through. Yeah, right. Dr. Schultz asked, maybe that's a reason to avoid even cutting through. Yeah, could be. When I was a kid, I guess it had a lot to do with churches as a kid. So when I was a kid, the way home, you would take, in the old days, we would take public transportation. We take this thing in Boston called the T. If you know what the T is, the T is like, I don't know, it's like the subway, but it's above ground, whatever. Yeah. So we would take the T home from school to Newton Center, and you'd walk from Newton from the stop there back to my house. So you'd pass that same church I was telling you about before, that where the shul was in the park in the across the street in the gym. So there was like this like pathway, which would take you up to the church, but it was also a shorter way to walk. So there were a lot of people who would do that. They would walk on this, they would walk again, they would walk across. They would use the church as a, the church pathway as like a, I probably did it myself, as a shortcut. Probably hadn't been, and I didn't know about these Mishnayos when I was doing that. But right, but yeah. But you could argue like maybe just walk away. The Tzitz Eliezer tells the stories with Waldenberg, who was the postdoc for Shari Tzedek Hospital. We're gonna see a shot of him in a second. So he said when he was a kid, they used to tell you when you walked by a church, again, this is like in Europe, you walk by a church, you should spit. They would say you should spit. Yeah, exactly. It was like this, like you would never even look at the church and you would spit as you would walk by. Obviously, part of that has to do with what was happening, what the church was doing to Jews and how the church was treating Jews. But at the same time, it's not so great. This is borne out in the postgame. It's very unnatural to us. And I think it's unnatural to us for a good reason. We're respectful. We're not. I always say to people, like, you don't need. I always say to my kids, like, it really bothers me, like, if they have like a Rebbe who like attacks a different hashkafa. I'm like, just be your hashkafa. Like, you don't have to attack those guys. Like, anti this and I'm anti this and you're so anti. Just be yourself. Who are you? Right? You don't have to define ourselves by who we're not. So we're very. Not, I don't really believe in general being so anti. We're not anti other religions. That's not our goal. But. Well, that's true. So and that's why I think it feels unnatural to us to talk about other religions as like, I'm gonna spit when I walk by, like, yikes. All right? But the point being, but I think It's for that reason, actually, that I think we need more sensitivity to this. Right? This halacha tells us it's not for you. It's not for you. We're going to have to see. We'll see more as we move along. Was there a hand raised? Yeah.
It says, "Ahatulareicha kamocha." I know it's not just Jews. If you think of somebody passing a shul and
spitting, you'd be offended.
Terrible. I can't think of this as even a good idea.
I don't spit when I walk by a church.
No, I don't. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, all I'm saying, I tell you that story about the Tzitz Eliezer to tell you, first of all, a person who was a respectful person, Tzitz Eliezer is one of the Gedolei Olam, not known to be, an extreme person. But just to sensitize us to the experience that people had, certainly in Europe, walking by a church, it was, you didn't go, that's not what you did, right? You actually, maybe you shouldn't even look at it, said the Rambam, right? So it's important. I think what I'm saying is that I think it's not so natural for us to take this stance, this posture towards anyone else who's not like us. We don't usually do that. And I think it needs balance. But I think it's important for us to understand this. Okay. Take a look in Shulchan Aruch, source number 7. Source number 7, the Shulchan Aruch, Yerodei Hechas Avodas Kochavim, Simen Kuf Memtes, says the Shulchan Aruch. They're making a holiday for their Avodah Zarah. They're going there to honor the Avodah Zarah. You can go outside the city, but you can't go inside that city. And if it's happening outside, you can go inside. Just quoting the Mishnah. And then says the Mechaber, a person is going from one place to another. You can't pass by that place if it specifically go to that Avodah Zarah. If it's a highway, if it's a way you get from one place to the other, that's fine. But if it's going directly to that, to that party, that Avodah Zarah party, so you can't walk on that road because everyone knows exactly where you're headed. Fine. Okay, but that's not so relevant for us. But take a look at the Shach and source number 8. Right? So the Shach and source number 8 writes the following. The Shach is the commentary right on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, and he writes the following. On the bottom line there, where it's bolded. V'yimair dina kain, and if that's the halacha of the city, kavachomer, base avodas kochavim atzma, shu asr lanu kemat lir oso, v'kosha kain likanes bo'adkan. So he quotes this idea that we saw before in the Rambam, right? That, again, same thing, and this is now quoted the halacha according to Shach, that a person, if it's true for the city, certainly it's true for the house of worship itself, which is forbidden for us, even, interesting language, kim'at lir oso, it doesn't mean you actually can't see it, right? But it's not something to be admired, not something to be looking at, right? And certainly he says, not to enter. Okay. But take a look at the next paragraph, and he writes the following. Kasavatur b'shem ha-rashma, de'efshir afilu im al iske rabim, v'afilu apikuach nefesh, asli kanesbo. Wow. So he quotes a possibility from the Rashba that maybe a person, if they were going to save their life, wouldn't be allowed to go into a base of Avodah Zarah. Again, why would that be in theory? How could you say you couldn't go in to save your life? We don't pass in this way, but why would we say that? If it's of Israel de Avodah Zarah, it's mamish related to Avodah Zarah, by Avodah Zarah, we say Yerag Val Yavor. Okay, we don't pass in like that. But Aval Ran cholik the Bisakanas the Fashas Shari. The Ran says no, so you can rely on the Ran. Don't worry, your life's in danger. You can go into a church.
But I don't understand that.
Well, understand what?
I understand what you just said.
Yeah, it means that generally we have a rule when it comes to the big three averos, right? Murder,
right.
Illicit relationships, and Avodah Zarah. That if a person says do that avera or I'm going to kill you, we say give up your life. So if we assume, again, you have to assume that entering a church is the same, is like connected to worship of Avodah Zarah, so then he would say it's Yahar Gval Yavar, right? I'd have to give up my life for it.
Even if you're going to save your life.
That's what he would say. I'm not saying, we don't pass in this way, but that's the approach of the Rashba. Wild, right? It's very strong. Very wild. Sounds like very, very extreme. Okay, fine. So what we see, though, from the Shulchan Aruch clearly is that if a place is determined to be a base of Avodah Zarah, there are a lot of, and we're going to see some exceptions, and in a minute we're going to talk about Eva and some other exceptions that are part of this, but very strong language used by the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach about how we relate to entering a base of Avodah Zarah. Okay, so we didn't, the Rambam believes that that's Christians, but we'll see that if that's Christians or not. Yeah.
Most people go on because they're assuming they'll be trained in Yashka's
steps that it leads to this church and that church, although it also, there's a way from there to the Kotel.
Wait, just the pathway? It's a pathway, right? Yeah, it's a pathway. I mean, it's not a base of Avodah Zarah. It's a good question. Like, people go there to pray, you know, but, you know, could you walk the pathway, the footsteps of Oso Ish, of that person to, you know, find your way? It's an interesting question. Maybe let's, after we keep that in mind, keep that question in mind. Let's see if we have an idea, if we think we have an answer by the time we get to the end of this year. Keep it in mind. It's a good question. Okay. So what about, let's talk for a second about other parts of the church. Let's assume for a second, we're going to get into Avodah Zarah in a second, Christianity in a second. But let's assume for a moment that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. So what would be the halacha when it comes to other parts of the building or the parts of the property? Take a look at the Ramah, source number 9. So this Ramah is in the same in Shulchan Aruch. And he writes the following. Here I am, source number 9. Yeah? So the Ramah writes, Moshe Ishel is Chatzer Shavodas Kochavim Yesh Omer Dedino Ki Ir Shavodas Kochavim. Some say it's like the city of the Avodah Zarah. Ubizman She'enik Over the Kochavim Miskapsim Sham the Tarfusam Mutali Kanesh L'Sham. And if they're not, like, you know, actually celebrating actively there, so then you can go in there. V'yesh Omer Dibikulin in Nasr. And some say you can never go in there. Imein Derech Over Bolim Akomachan. Unless it's like a cut through to some other place. Or just to walk into the, you know, the parking lot of a church for no reason, so maybe it wouldn't be okay. Over, but if again, if it's a cut through, everyone agrees that that's permissible. Normal thing, like I mentioned, that pathway that went up towards the church, but also pass by, so that would be permissible to do. It's a nice thing; it's a holy thing to do, to not do that. There's another short path that way also, but again, we see a little opening here that if the area is outside. And it's a pathway sent to some other way, other place, so that may not be as much of a problem. Okay, but let's get to this very, very important question. How do we view Christianity? Who said Christianity? I thought that they pray to God, right? They pray to God. So who said that Christianity is Avodah Zarah? Why could Christianity be considered Avodah Zarah? Why would you think maybe it is? Okay, so first of all, they have depends on your sect of Christianity, right? Depending on your denomination. But many have a lot of statues. Good. So there's statues and crosses. And there's also, the belief is a different belief. Certainly if you believe in the Trinity, right? You believe in this concept known as Shituf, which we're going to talk about in a second. Right? That they don't believe only... I'm not a scholar of Christianity, so I'm not going to pretend to explain it. Many of you probably know better than me. But, right, there's not just a belief necessarily in one God by himself, but there is some type of combination, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and somehow they're related to each other, and they're all parts of one thing, and they work together. This is an important thing. This is why there are lots of, you know, Christian children named Trinity or Trinidad, right? Because of this idea of the Trinity. So what is the Trinity? Is that, you know, if you'd ask a believing Christian, do they believe in one God? I don't know what they would say. But they'd be like, who cares if it's one God or three gods? Why do you care? Right? We're like, it's important to us. So is the belief in the Trinity a problem? Is that a problem? Yeah, by the way, not just for us, but also a problem for... There's two questions here. One is it a problem for me as a Jew, right, to go near and be involved in someone's religion that is belief in the Trinity? And the second question is it a problem for them? Again, because the Ben Noach also can't worship Avodah Zarah. So if my somehow helping them in some way or supporting or celebrating their traditions, and their traditions are Avodah Zarah, that's a problem because that's something that they're not allowed to do, right? Yeah. Okay, good. Good, so it's a separate question, right? Which is that the Christian church, while today, you can have your whatever you feel about it. But certainly in the past, right, was something that was very, very, the terrible, vicious, horrible things for the Jewish people. My very first day in Yeshiva University, which was in 2003, I think in January of 2003, was the day when a group of cardinals came to visit Yeshiva University. And if you remember that story. So it was my first day in YU, you know. And I remember very much a large machlokas that took place in YU after that happened because they walked into the Beis Medrash in full regalia, including their large, right, and there were some Rosh Yeshiva, who felt very, very strongly that that was the wrong thing to allow to happen. It was a lot of machlokas. Everybody stayed in yeshiva, so that was good. But it was certainly a machlokas, and that was part of the argument. This is clothing and that represents the massacre of Jews, right? And so, and I think it's an important piece to keep in mind as we have this conversation also. But I wanted to drill down to the specific halacha question of whether Christianity is a avodah zarah or not. Yeah.
It's more than massacre of Jews. It's also that their desire to convert Jews.
Okay, that too. Good. Yes. It was mentioned also the desire to convert Jews. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Good. I had a great shiloh. I got in the mail last summer. I got in the mail a book that looked like a chumash because it was in Hebrew. But if you open it, it has two sections. It had the Torah, and then it had the New Testament. But the New Testament, all in Hebrew. So like with Shem Hashem. So I was like, what do you do with that? Do you put it in Shemos? Is that Shem Hashem, right? Or do you burn it? Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know. So it's a shout out for a different time, right? But this was sent to me. You know, I guess they're hoping they would, like, if they caught me, they have another 280 families because they get to go along with them. But like, right? Like, okay, so sorry. Side point, but interesting. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, so it says, So let's talk about this question of Christianity. So look at the Rambam in source number 10. The Rambam writes, "Hanotzrim over the avodah zarahim." Okay, no, the Rambam is very direct on this issue. The Notzrim, the Christians are over the avodah zarah. Yom Rishon, who Yom Edam, Sunday is their day of celebration. Right, Yom Edam is the same language that the Gemara uses and the Mishnah uses to talk about the day of celebration of the avodah zarah. So Sunday is avodah zarah day. That's what he wants to say. Lefikach asr laseis laseisi mohem ba'eretz Yisrael yom chamishi v'yom shishi shebechol Shabbos v'Shabbos ve'in tzarech lomar yom rishon atzmo shu asr b'chol makom v'chenog imam b'chol idim. This is talking about, he's referencing a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, talks about the prohibition of doing business with over the Avodah Zarah on their holidays. This is one of the, we're going to see a reference to it in a second. One of the questions of, can you give a holiday gift to a Christian, right, on December 25th, or on New Year's Day, because what might happen? They go, wow, Baruch Ha, whatever. You know, thank that guy for what I got today, right? So is that permissible? Is it not permissible? So the Rambam is saying, you know, don't worry. I give holiday gifts to my postman and my garbage guys and all those guys. I give it not on that day. That's where we're going to see the Shulchan Aruch says that. I give it on a different day. I give it before. I give it. I don't give it on the 25th. I don't give it on January 1st. I give it on a little off, right? So that they get it and they feel respectful. But I also don't give it on Badafka on the day.
The Rambam living among Muslims, does that have something to do with how we felt about Christianity?
What do you mean?
Well, see, he did not live amongst the Christians. He lived amongst the Muslims.
Right, but look how strong the Rambam is about Christians, which is interesting. You're saying it's easier for him to be negative,
right,
because he's not worried about himself.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, he didn't have to censor himself. Yes, he didn't have to censor himself. But I don't know that he would be more, you know, that his view of the halacha is different. Rather, I would say we can say that the Rambam didn't have to censor his writings about Christians, as opposed to many of the Rishonim and some of the Gemaras that we have that have, over the years have been censored, right? The truth is, I may even be incorrect. It could be the Rambam was censored. The Rambam I have from here is brought from the Bar Ilan, which may be, some of the censors that were, you know, things that were censored out have been put back in over time. So I shouldn't even say, I'm not positive the Rambam wasn't censored either. But the Rambam is clear what he thinks. Fine. But this is a very important Tosfos here, source number 11. So source number 11, the talking about the same, question of taking an oath, etc. The Rabbeinu Tam says the following. Take a look at source number 11, where it's three lines in the bottom there, where it's, I promise you there will be some English in the source sheet coming later, I promise. But take a look where it says, Ode Perish Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam says the following. He says, Bizman hazeh, kulon nishba'im b'kadoshim, v'im tovsin b'hem elohos. One of the questions that's being asked is, if you're doing business with a non-Jew and he's going to take an oath, he's going to swear that he gives you his word, right? So is that a problem? Because when he takes an oath, what's he going to take an oath with? He takes an oath in the name of his God, Right? So, by doing business with him, you're going to actually encourage him to give kavod to his avodah zarah. Okay? So the Rabbeinu Tam says that Bizman Azeh today, in the 1200s, 1300s, right, everybody takes oaths like that, right? And they don't mean to include God. Even though they say the name of their God, v'kavanasam the davar acher, right? They're referring to, they don't mean our God, he says, they mean, you know, Osoish, Jesus. Mikomakom ein ze shem avodas kochavim. So that's not avodah zarah. Why? Ki datam l'shem osa shemayim v'aretz. When they say it, they mean Hashem. Whatever the language they use, they mean the one who made heaven and earth, which is the same God that we dive into, right? V'af agav shemishtatef shem shemayim v'davar acher, because that's the language we saw before, shituf. They combine, right? They make a combination of God and something else, meaning the Trinity. That's not a problem that I'm again causing him to take that oath in the name of this God. Why? Because the Bnei Noach are not warned of doing this. Not warned of doing what? How would you read that line in the Bnei Tam? Sounds like the Bnei Tam is saying, yeah, maybe I can't believe in the Trinity, right? It's forbidden for a Jew. You have to, you know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem, Echad. That's it. Echad, Echad, and only one God, and nobody else, and no human, and none of that stuff. Jews can't believe that. But the Rebbeinu Tam seems to be saying that Bnei Noach are not, no huzru al-kach. They're not warned against this. There are others, Rav Chaim of Brisk, Rabbi Soloveitchik, felt this way very strongly, that it's not Rebbeinu Tam means. They felt, the Rabbeinu Tam is saying, "Debnei Noach lo huzru al kach." That means what? What's the context of the question? Taking a shavua, taking an oath in the name of this avodah zarah. That already, he says, the Rav explained this Rabbeinu Tam to mean that yes, they're forbidden to believe in the Trinity, but to also take an oath in the name of the Trinity—that's already something beyond what they're, you know, required to do. If they do that, that's okay. Right? And if I cause them to take an oath, that's the whole question. Can I cause them to take the oath? For me to cause them to do it, so that already, lo huzru al kach, that's not something that we're worried about. But if that's true, then what is Rabbeinu Tam saying that Christians are allowed, that Ben Noach can believe in the Trinity? Then he's not saying that. He's just saying they're allowed to take an oath in the name of the Trinity. Right? But actually, believing or not, for sure that's awesome. Okay, so it's a big machlokas. Because that question, how to read that line in Rabbeinu Tam, become like an earth-shattering question, and remain in machlokas, as to how do we understand Christianity. The Rambam clearly disagrees. That's clear. The Rambam thinks that Christianity is avodah zarah. The question is, how do we understand Rabbeinu Tam? And that itself is a machlokas. I would say, it seems, you're going to see from many of the achronim we're going to see now, the generally accepted opinion is that it is. It is avodah zarah, and that this line in Rabbeinu Tam is referring just to not take it, they're allowed to take the oath. But the believing in the Trinity is something that is forbidden for them. But by the way, whether or not it's forbidden for them and avodah zarah for them, it's for sure avodah zarah for us. That's no question. Right? Even if you assume, like Rabbeinu Tam, that Christianity, for Christians to believe in Christian doctrine is not avodah zarah for Christians, everybody agrees that it's avodah zarah for a Jew to believe such a thing. And that would be, you know, to declare you believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost would be Yahag Vayavah, right? To worship and believe, etc. in that way. Fine. Okay. All right. Good. I want to get to some of these practical questions, but I just want to show you one thing that's important to see in the Shulchan Aruch, because this will be important for later. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Chief Rabbi. Chief Rabbi Mervis, a couple years ago, when King Charles was, what do you call it? Coronated. Thank you. I was just like, installed? That's for rabbis. I don't know why they even call that for rabbis. But you should call us coronated. That'd be more fun. But when he was coronated, so there's a whole question, could the chief rabbi go? I'm going to show you an article in a second. And he did go. He did go. So one of the reasons he was able to go, or the London Besdin, Paskin, that he could go, was, take a look what it says in the Ramah over here. So take a look at source number 12.
Why?
We're going to see right now. Source number 12. So he says the following. Yesh omim she'ein kol advarim elu omim ela ba'ozazman. So some say that all this conversation about not giving a gift to the Avodah Zarah and not letting them swear and all that stuff was in the old days, right? But nowadays they don't even know of it. They don't even know what they're worshiping anymore. Etc. All these rules about, like we mentioned, doing business before a non-Jewish holiday, it doesn't really. The Mechaber says it doesn't really apply anymore, right? Because they're not so religious. Right? Don't tell that to the fundamentalist Christians in the United States. I think they're very religious, you know. But okay, fine. And then the Rama writes, "Vafil," where it's italicized. "Vafil nosim amos laKohanim ain osim mehem tikrovis or noyav." They don't use it for avodah zarah. "Ela Kohanim ochlim v'shosim," but they just take the money and they use it to, you know, buy a car or whatever. They get a burger. They're not using it for avodah zarah. And then he writes, "Va'od de'ispa zem mishum eva im nifrosh atzmenu mehem beyom chagam." He goes, "If we don't," this is. In those days, he writes, if we like totally separate ourselves and separate ourselves from the non-Jews during their celebrations, it's going to be a concern of Eva. What's Eva? Hatred of the non-Jews of the Jewish community. And by the way, Eva could lead to violence, right? Eva was not just like, they won't like us so much. But Eva, the concern of Eva is if we don't get in line with the non-Jewish communities in which we live, so then there's a concern there could be repercussions, right? It doesn't mean it's mamash sakana right now. If it's mamash sakana right now, it'd be a different story. But this is, it's not good. It's not good for our relationships with the non-Jews. Which, again, down the road, could be dangerous. Okay? Va'an yushruyim b'nehem, and we live amongst them. V'tzrichim la'seis la'seis ibaim koshan. We have to do business all year. So if we're going to shut our stores, no Christians allowed, right, from Black Friday through January 1, like, that is not going to work out well. It'd be bad news. Right? It'd be bad news. We can't do that. Okay. And then he writes, which underlined, but if you can avoid it, better to avoid it. Right? So that's like this this idea. Right? And this, by the way, he says this. What is Yom Shemini Achar Nitol? Nitol Nacht refers to what day? Christmas Day. Right? Nitol Nacht is because the night you're just not supposed to learn. Maybe there's Kabbalistic reasons, and there also it was practical because why? You couldn't go to the Beis Medrash that night, Christmas Eve, because there were pogroms, they would murder you, right? So the Chazal said it's forbidden to learn that night. You see pictures still today in like 770, they play chess on Nitzel Nacht. I give a shir on Nitzel Nacht. I'm the fish. What? Right, cards. Yeah, exactly. Right, for this reason. But what's the eighth day after Nitzel Nacht? New Year's Day, because that was his. Bris Mila, right? So he says Shikorin New Year, Sheyesh lahem Simen im Yagia lahem Daron bechagahu. They want to know if they get a gift. Imef Shelo Yishlach Lo Mi Ba'erev. Send it the day before, right? Vimlo Yishlach Lo Bechagatzmo, right? Vimlo Yishlach Lo Bechagatzmo. But if not, send it on this day. But the point being, the important thing I wanted to show you was that there's this idea of Eva. Right, that if you're concerned that they're going to have bad relationships, that might be an opening already to some of these conversations. We have to move ahead because we're going to run out of time here. The Ravai Yosef in source number 13 has very, very strong things to say about visiting a church. He says, Varama Hosif, source number 13, so Ravai writes, where it's on the second line there, underline, Varama Hosif, V'o di isba zem mishum eva im nifrosh atzmina mehem v'yom edam. That's true in general. A concern for Eva is a real thing. He goes, but just to go visit a church, there's not gonna be any Eva if I choose not to visit. I don't care. I'm on a tour somewhere and I choose not to go into the church. That's not gonna make the Christians angry at our community. Right? They're not gonna know the difference. So Ravai says that's not a reason to do that. And then it's underlined in bold. It says, "Mikivan shetzuras hashesi ve'erev asher bebeis kniyasam ki avodah zarah gemura," the cross is a avodah zarah, vasura bahana. You couldn't get benefit from that wood, right? Vaday shebeis tefilasam karu beis avodah zarah. Certainly, the a church is called a base avodah zarah. Nothing to talk about. Fine. Tzitz Eliezer, source number 14, feels the same way. I mentioned to you his own personal practice when passing a church. He also writes that it is there's nothing to talk about. He says, if you look one, two, three, four lines in the bottom, just to show you, just give you a snippet. V'imkein pasha ubar, it's obvious. She'ein l'chalek b'nogei le'isra ha'knis l'bein ha'yamim ha'kadmonim l'bein yizmanenim, meaning like in the 1500s versus now, v'gam b'zman hazeh asa l'kanas l'beis ha'vodazara shalahem v'gam lo l'chatzer, and not even into the courtyard. Fine. And he said, he just points out that the sefer, the Tshuva's preset points out, even if there aren't crosses, right, there are certain sects of Christianity doesn't have, you know, pictures, etc. Even that is not allowed. Rav Avadia in source number 15 is not excited about this idea of Eva, and he's like, yeah, you know, not so excited about it. I want to show you source number 17 is two things from the Nefesh HaRav. Nefesh HaRav is written by Rav Shachter Shlita, right? With all these, he writes down all these amazing snippets, things that he learned and knew from the Rav. And from the Rav and from Beis Brisk in general, the Rav's parent, father, or grandfather, etc. So Nefesh HaRav, which is, it's a great, it's an easy, it's like a relatively simple Hebrew, and it's amazing just to sit and read. So Nefesh HaRav, it's a really beautiful to read. So he talks about this idea, like I mentioned before, about the Rav thinks about that about Shituf. Just look at the first point. Ashach li yodei hevi l'alacha me'arama. The Ben Noach lo husru al Shituf. Ben Noach is is allowed to worship the Trinity. V'hua piha banasam b'divrei ha-Tosfos. That's how they understood the Tosfos. V'Rabbeinu Amar b'shem Agrach. The Rabbeinu said, the Rav said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, she kishkaga sheyatzam l'ifnei ha-shalit. It's like a total mistake. Total mistake. The right way to read it is like everybody else. The only issue is that they're not allowed to. The only thing we said that they're allowed to do is they can take an oath in the name of the Trinity. But certainly, worshiping this, the Trinity is forbidden even for non-Jews. But I want to show you the next thing. Kishenirtzach Hanasi Kennedy. When Kennedy was killed. Arhu halvayato b'knisa katolit. Right, he had his funeral in a Catholic church. V'harbe Yehudim ba'America histaklu b'televizia b'chtei lirot et hanasa. Everyone watched. Which is a normal thing to do. Right, that's like very natural. You wanted to watch. It was this trauma that happened to the nation, and people wanted to watch the funeral. V'hitra'ema kacharbeinu ma'od. But the Rav was very upset by this. V'amar sheyot shelefi chuke hadas hakatolit. This is before the shaila is about Zoom. During can I listen to the Megillah on Zoom? Right. So, but Christians for years had Sunday morning television. When I was a kid, was right. You had to be careful which channel you were on. Right. You're gonna see Catholic sermons. Right. And for them, watching on TV. Is like the halacha is if you watch on TV, yotzei dechavaso, it works. You're yotzei. You consider that you went to church. Okay, but if that's true, right? Harei nimsa shekol osam ayehudim sheistaklu b'havayas hanal hayu mishtatvim b'palchan avodazar shalem. So what does that mean? It means if you watched it on TV, what were you doing? You were participating in their service, right? Not on purpose. Right. Doesn't matter if I go take myself into their church or I bring their church into my house. Right. Either one, he said it was the Rav was upset about. Again, I understand why people did it. They didn't realize. We weren't thinking about it like that. In very interesting. I forget when this came up. It happened again. There was a funeral, and Torah Web sent out this. Thing below reminded everyone. I forget which funeral it was. That there was going to be a funeral that was going to be on TV. You know, and they reminded everyone that the Rav felt that was being part of a church ceremony. You should avoid watching it on TV. Okay, take a look at the next source, which is an article from the Jerusalem Post. UK Chief Rabbi coronation is the greatest event that has happened in decades. So what they talked in this article about the coronation. So he said the following: Orthodox halacha forbids Jews to enter a church because it's considered a house of idol worship. Religious Jews also don't participate in events that include the use of microphones, live music, that on Shabbos. Fine. Mervik explained that for entering a church, we have a very clear established code of conduct for chief rabbis. When there is an invitation, the stroke, or command from the palace, we do it. Chief rabbis for centuries have been invited to churches by the king. They go. He said that often the invitations from the palace are worded, His Majesty commands, triggering the halachic reality of Mishum Eva. Rivik explained the term, we sometimes find it appropriate that the chief rabbi should attend church. I've attended a number of services. Okay, so the reason he went was, but again, that's because he is the chief rabbi of England, right? And not attending would be a slap in the face to the Church of England. That's a bad idea, right? So that's why he felt, and I saw somewhere, the Besden of London, Paskin, that he was supposed to go to the church. Fine. So let's just talk about some of our questions. So what did I do with Abe? Abe and the Air Force. So I didn't go in. I waited outside. It was a church. I waited outside. And when Abe came out, after he was done graduating, I was there. I gave him a hug. We took pictures. I met his parents. And he understood that I stood outside. I said I had to stay outside because it looked to me like a church. So I didn't go in. What about someone whose colleague passes away? And they're having a ceremony in the church. So I tell people, you really, really shouldn't go. Really shouldn't go. I say this, but there's probably something else taking place. There's going to be a memorial something. There's going to be something afterwards. Somewhere, right, whatever it's going to be, do that. If it's in a funeral home, so then you can usually go. Right? But if it's going to be in a church, be in a chapel, so you should I tell people they should try to avoid it. Okay, but what about this question of the Vatican? So people sometimes say, well, the Sistine Chapel is not used as a church. There are some poskim who say that if there's a church that is being turned into a museum, so that might be room to be mekel. It's not being used, it's not used as a base of Avodah Zarah anymore. It's mamish a museum, so that might be room to be lenient. So I wanted to clarify. So I Googled Sistine Chapel. Is it still used so I got an AI answer, but I never used the AI answer because AI wants you to like it. So depending on how you ask the question, does the Sistine Chapel have mass? Yes, it does, right? Okay, but you have to look at the source material from the AI. So I found this article. Although it was built over 500 years ago, it is still used for its original purpose. The Sistine Chapel was completed in 1481, held its first mass in 1483. Back then, it was intended to be the Pope's personal chapel, and that is still the case to this very day. If you go Google and you want to see Pope Leo's first mass, I don't encourage you to participate, right? But if you go on to see where it was in the Sistine Chapel. The very first mass that the new pope that took place. So this argument that the Sistine Chapel is a museum, I think is not correct. And it's not true. Practically not correct. Mass takes place still in the Sistine Chapel. So people ask me, I personally tell them, like, go see something else. Like, I know it's very exciting. I myself, I'm curious. I'd love to see but for all of the reasons that we've delineated, to me it's not something that I feel comfortable with. And that's because all of my Rebbeim say the same thing. Rav Schechter, you can find on Torah, on YU Torah, an article from a shiur that Rav Schechter gave on a bus in Rome, in Italy. And he talks there about how you can't go to the Sistine Chapel, you shouldn't go to the Vatican. To go to the general area of the Vatican, you have to see. The big areas, right, those big, I don't know what it's called, that big area where they announce who the Pope is, right, that the Pope also gives prayers from that place, right? And it's a big kavod. That place. So you have to really think about it, right? Rabbi Yosef Adler, Zatzal, was very machmir on this issue. When I was in Rinat, I remember he was very, very machmir. He really felt he would never allow people to go to the Vatican, Westminster Abbey. He felt very strong that people should not do that. And he also wouldn't allow people to attend a funeral or a wedding, etc., in a church. He was very, very machmir on this issue, not surprisingly, because he was a very close student of the Rav, who was very, very machmir on this issue. What about people who want to go to other parts of the building? So to a church for a soup kitchen, or for a voting, or things like that. So there, Rubelsky and others have passed in that as long as there's a sign, if you can go in through a different entrance, that's one thing. If you can go through a different entrance, through the AA meeting, etc., so that we say is mutter. And if there's like voting, and it's big signs, everyone knows it's the second Tuesday and the first Tuesday in the month, everyone knows it's voting day. So you go to the church, to the wherever, to vote, you're not going into the actual chapel. So there we assume that the poskim are mekel. In such a scenario. But I think, again, I think that the most interesting point, I think, is, or not most interesting, another interesting point, is sort of the point is maybe four. I think that sometimes we get, because we're so open-minded, and I'm proud of the fact that we're open-minded as a community in general, and we don't, tear other people down or negative towards others, etc. So we feel like, okay, it's interesting, right? But we don't think about it. And yes, there's also a history there, of what the Catholic Church did to the Jewish people for hundreds of years, And then you go and you walk into the Vatican and you're like, wow, amazing, beautiful. It's like, it's actually bizarre if you think about it. And certainly that it's a place that represents, according to most Rishonim, Avodah Zarah Mamish. Right? And to walk into, someone said, would you go to a Beis Avodah Zarah and go, wow, so beautiful. You're like, no, of course I wouldn't do that for Avodah Zarah. I would never do that. So someone reminds me, but Christianity, according to most poskim, it is. So I think it's again, are there poskim who will allow someone to go to the Sistine Chapel? I think there are. They argue it's really just a museum. It's very rarely used for services. So again, everyone should talk to their own poskim about it. I'm not telling you there's no opening for any of these conversations. And it's certainly when there's trouble, and Eva, et cetera, there's real openings. But I think that the perspective, one of, I should really be thinking about this. This is like really sensitive. And I really want to think about how I identify as a Jew. And I'm strong in my values and know who I am. The question of deciding to go visit a church, I think, is something we should take really seriously and not consider it just like, oh, whatever, I'm just interested. I'm also interested. We're all interested. But the question of how it, you know, what it means to be a Jew, what it means that when something's really Avodah Zarah, so that means that we distance ourselves, just like we distance ourselves from lots of things that might be fun and interesting and cool, but are just not for us. And I think that's, you know, someone told me as I was walking in that they would talk to a couple of postkin who said just that. Like, yeah, that's like their number one place. So why do you want to go there? Again, I'm not saying we don't have interest. I think we do have interest. I have interest. But I think to consider it and to think about it and to recognize it's a real shayla, that much I think we should really be careful about, because it really matters. Yeah.
So,
at the end. That's a good question. If a person doesn't believe in the Trinity, that might help. That might help. Yeah. Yeah, so mosques is already a different conversation. It's a different conversation for a lot of reasons. So maybe we could have a different conversation about mosques. But many posts can believe that a mosque is not a base of Avodah Zarah, because they mamish believe in one God, Allah, that they talk about is the same exact God. But I think we're out of time. I'm happy to stay afterwards to answer questions. I thank you so much for coming, and wishing everybody a wonderful day.